Satyasam
Tato Jayam Udirayat
Tato Jayam Udirayat
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
There's three joints. I did it. There's three joints.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we've been studying Srimad Bhagavatam. And of course, there are so many books of knowledge in the world, how you should live like that. Yeah? And of course, amongst all these, the Indian literature is accepted by many people as the best. You know. There's one joke. In the European heaven, the Germans are the mechanics, the French are the lovers, the British are the policemen, the Italians are the cooks, and the Swiss are the judges. In the European hell, the British are the cooks, the Germans are the police, the Swiss are the lovers, the Italians are the judges, if you know the Italian court system, and the French are the mechanics. Anyway, here we have a citra. All you have to buy one Krishna book. That's the penalty. Flinch off half price. Yeah. So every country, I can make this point, if you go to the Encyclopedia Britannica, there's Germany, China, Portugal, France. It has a history of France, all these things about France, right? Literature of France. But it doesn't talk about the philosophy of France or the philosophy of America. Only one country does it mention the philosophy of India. And it's not even within the section on India. It's a separate entry like that in the Britannica like that. So, you're proud of Italy and WADA and stuff, but better, the real contribution of India is culture, philosophy. And out of that, then there's a thing called the Catalogus Catalogorum, and it's a list of all bibliography maintained by Indologists of all known ancient Sanskrit texts. Now, of course, when we decide what is ancient, it's the whole thing. But when it was last published, it included over 160,000 ancient Sanskrit texts. And in comparison to other classical literature like Arabic, Chinese, Indian literature is much more quantity like that in breadth. And it covers what? Vastu Veda, Gandharva Veda, Ayurveda, Adhanda Veda, Yantravidhi, mechanics, architecture, medicine, political sciences, all these things like that. So out of all these, right, Idam, how can we say now that the Srimad Bhagavatam, not you, okay, let me know those two guys, anybody else, Srimad Bhagavatam is the best of all the Vedic literatures. Any verse within the Bhagavatam which says that? You're a part of Padma program now. Even that verse, even just one line, or one phrase, yeah.
Srimad Bhagavatam, Puranam Amalam, Kimva Prayirishvara?
Yeah. That's in the first, that's the second verse?
Second verse.
Yeah. Or Idam Bhagavatana or Nigama Kalpa Toror and Bhagavatam Panam. Those first few verses, yeah. So it's the essence. It's Nigama, the Vedic literatures. Nigama Kalpa Toror, Galitam Phalam. It's the phalam, fruit. It's the ripened fruit. So it's not, Papa says, it's not only the ripened fruit, but what else? Okay, now everybody can answer these. It's not just the ripened fruit, but also it's what?
Sukham Khana Navasangyatam.
Yeah, but it's the ripened fruit of the tree. But it's also the best, those two things. Yeah, it's the best of all the other ones, too, like that. Yeah, not just the essence, but also the best, like that. So therefore, we should study Srimad Bhagavatam. And he says, what is the use of any other scripture like that? Yeah. So, we've been having this seminar here, this experimental seminar, on the first two cantos. And it looks like now a very nice program developing in Brihat, offering this nice, regular program. I was thinking of joining it, write to him, if he wants a critic on board. Like that. Like I have criticism right from the first page of the study guide. Like that. Yeah, we're always improving things. That's the whole point. Yeah. Even Krishna is improving himself. What's the biggest room in the world? Do you know? What is the biggest room in the world, huh?
room for improvement.
Yeah, the room for self-improvement. That's the biggest room in the world. The room for self-improvement. Yeah. You can't translate into Spanish. I tried. It didn't work out. Yeah. But yeah, that's the whole thing. It's just unlimited how we can improve things. Yeah. And sometimes very quickly, you gotta stay on board. You gotta keep paddling like anything just to keep up with the waves sometimes. Prabhupada says like that. Yeah. So we've, in this Padapadma group, we've gone through the first canto, and this is more like a preface, you know, to Srimad Bhagavatam. What is the goal of this book? Well, to give shelter in Kali Yuga. Krishna's leading, you know, departure of Krishna, departure of the Pandavas, departure of Dhritarashtra, departure of Kunti, departure of Gandhari, departure of Bhima. You know, so who's going to protect everybody? Well, Uddhava's staying here, but also Srimad Bhagavatam, you know. So Srimad Bhagavatam is a literary incarnation of God. Is that a Sanskrit verse? You know that verse? Idam. Yeah, he even got the Danyan Swasti in right order. Yeah. Translation.
It's Bhagavat Purana is a festival.
That's the other one. Krishna Swadhamma Bhagatan. The Srimad Bhagavatam is literary incarnation of God. Is compiled by the great sage Vyasa in the maturity of his realization. It is meant for the general good of all people. It is all successful and all blissful. Yeah, like that. So nice verses in the beginning. You know. And so the first canto describes all those things. You know, well, who's Maharaj Pariksit? When did his spiritual life begin? When did Maharaj Pariksit's spiritual life begin? Well, what's your name, Prabhu?
Krishna.
Oh, I know. Okay, my name's Hanuman.
Spiritual life?
Yeah.
From birth?
From birth?
Or even before?
Yes, yeah. And when did Sukadev Goswami's spiritual life begin?
From the womb.
Yeah.
He heard all the...
Yeah. So this is, you know, this is the real Head Start program, right? Yeah, this kindergarten program, you know. Yeah. There's a thing, the paper is this, five proofs that Jesus was a woman, five proofs that Jesus was Italian, and five proofs that Jesus was a Mexican, right? First was he couldn't get a fair trial, right? He was always in trouble with the law, and his name was Jesus. You know, Mexicans, your name is Jesus, your name is Krishna. And the other one is, his father was a carpenter, you know, Jesus, you know, so he had to be a Mexican. You know. So you're Krishna, I'm Hanuman. You know. Das? Yeah. So then we see the first canto is like that. You know, and they're meeting under this very intense circumstance. You know, if you knew, for example, that you were going to die within, you know, people told you, your doctors told you, you have 1 week to live, you know. And the Ayurvedic doctor said, maybe 1 week. Okay, then. What would you do? You know, go to all the amusement parks in the world? Just run all your credit cards up to the maximum? Maybe go back to India, huh? Yeah? If you need 1 week to live, what would you do? You're just like Maharaj Pariksit. You got 1 week. You know?
Yeah, go back to India.
Yeah.
Punya Dham, like Vrindavan.
Yeah.
And spend the rest of the life.
That's the life, that's the week. but of course it would take you 72 hours to get there, you know. It might have 36 hours to get there. I guess you could just pay for the fastest direct flight like that. Hire the best Tata Sumo and, you know, there would have been Dalin. Yeah. Yeah. But that was his idea too. Yeah, proper use. So he met Sukadeva Goswami, and he had under this very intense circumstance. And general ambience is that now we need somebody to create Srimad Bhagavatam, you know, like that. Because the Kali Yuga is coming like that. You know? So that's a preface. What is the ambience? What is the purpose? Who's speaking? And what qualifications are expected from the audience like that? So it's okay? Any questions on the first canto? Have an examination. Yeah. Moving fast. How many chapters in the first canto?
19.
How big is the introduction? What's in the introduction?
Six to eight pages.
Oh, no.
Page and a half.
No, that's the preface.
Introduction.
What is the introduction is mostly the beginning. Prabhupada is talking about
short sketch of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, he's talking about Ishvara versus cause of all causes. And God is the supreme controller, but we're talking about God as the cause of all causes. That's a more fundamental definition. Then he goes into the biography of Lord Chaitanya. Why does he include the biography of Lord Chaitanya? He says right in the beginning, he said, we're including the biography of Lord Chaitanya because we're Gaudiya Vaishnavas. You know? Hmm? Why does he include it?
Because it's very nice.
Okay. this is a big point, important point. Yeah.
Is the incarnation of Krishna in the Kali.
He says, without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, by the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's much easier to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. But the problem is being a little humble there. And without the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, it's practically speaking impossible to understand Srimad Bhagavatam. I have one friend, Mr. Samarsh Bandopadhyaya. He was former head of the Calcutta University Department of Ancient History and Culture. And I heard him talking to one, after associating with, you know, Lord Chaitanya's followers, ISKCON, people like that. I heard him talking to one friend. He was saying, he grew up, he started speaking Sanskrit in his house, I think 5 years old, you know, he was speaking Sanskrit. So he said, I thought that the grammar and everything in the Bhagavatam was kind of superficial like that. You know, that people thought that the real Vedas and Upanishads and Tantras, that's where, you know, the Bhagavatam was something composed later and it's like less important story thing and so on. But he said, now I'm beginning to appreciate it. It's not that the Sanskrit and the Bhagavatam is inferior, it's my Sanskrit is inferior. Like that, right? I begin to appreciate it. It's so deep and so profound. You know? So even he, great scholar and stuff like that, couldn't understand it until he had the association of people who can appreciate it through Lord Chaitanya. So it's very essential. That's why before we chant Maha Mantra, before we have Kirtan, we always chant Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Srivas Gaura Bhaktivinoda. And the mercy of these five acharyas, we become purified of our sins, our reactions. Then we can chant Maha Mantra in ecstasy. One can only chant, only worship Radha and Krishna if he has great spiritual potency and great spiritual education, you know, actual realized knowledge. So to get that, we take shelter of Lord Chaitanya. Like that. So it's very essential. This biography of Lord Chaitanya is a very essential thing. In Spanish, it's printed as a separate book, like that. And it's very nice to distribute that. You feel so satisfied, this, you know, because you can read it, it's understandable. So only 500 years ago, like that. Especially for Indians, people are following Pushtimar, they follow Dayananda Saraswati, you know, so many different branches like that and stuff. So they know Bhagavad Gita, but here, this is our particular acharya like that. Oh, I was looking for something like that. He's on the altar, everybody has their acharya on the altar, you know. So I'm like, oh, here's biography like that. So it's very, very nice to, we should do that. We should print them up separately like that, you know. Defy the BBT. So good job for Neos, right? Yeah, pay for printing. 5,000 copies of the biography. The life and teachings of Lord Chaitanya. Okay, so that's there. That arrangement. First canto. So there's 20 chapters. 19 chapters in the introduction. So that means if you do one a day, Monday through Friday, how long? 1 month, right? 1 month. Yeah. You do one chapter a day. It's a nice seminar. One chapter, one chapter, one chapter, like that. Whole thing finished in 1 month and like that. Yeah. And of course we went around again and again. Again and again. Yeah. So okay, then how does the second chapter begin? What is the first verse in the second chapter? The second canto. Second canto. Second canto. What is the very first verse in the second canto?
Om Namo Bhagavate.
Oh, he's got it. What is it?
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudeva.
Okay, please repeat. Om. Okay. You've got to open up your whole apparatus on the ah, and then close it down to the M, but it closes in the top, so it's nasal here. Oh. Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Who chanted this mantra, like Jap, as Jap? This was somebody's Jap mantra.
Dhrumara.
Yeah, it's very nice. People are afraid of the Maha Mantra sometimes. Oh, it's a cult. Chant this. You know, people get the same taste. So what does it mean? How did you, translation?
I offer my respectful obeisances unto Vasudeva.
Yeah.
The son of Vasudeva was the son of Vasudeva.
Yeah. Vasudevaya. Yeah. Well, but what's the Mayavadi interpretation? They have their commentary also. Very few of the Puranas have commentaries. Very few have commentaries. The Srimad Bhagavatam has something like, I don't know, 11 or 18 major commentaries. It's again to prove, like, and everybody tries to prove it as it belongs to their view. Vasudevaya, I think, means all pervading. Vasudeva means he who lives everywhere. So they see it means Om. We offer our respects to that all opulent, all pervasive, you know, consciousness or something like that. You know, but Prabhupada says no. Vasudeva is the son of Vasudeva. Okay. Yeah. So you can meditate like that.
Udhara charitanam to Vasudeva kutumbakam. For the large hearted, the world is a family.
Yeah.
So Vasudeva, yeah, it is a Vasudha means earth.
Yeah.
So Vasudeva.
That's Vasudha. Right?
Vasudha is earth. So Vasudeva means the whole world.
Yeah.
Is a family like that.
Yeah.
But I think Vasudeva is slightly different.
Yeah. Vasudeva. But it's a very nice phrase, Indian phrase, very famous. Vasudeva Kutumbakam. Yeah. Universal. Okay. So then, how many chapters in the second canto?
10.
Okay. See, you get 5 points. Unless you have 25 points, you can't have prasad. Oh, it's becoming very serious now. Yeah. So 10 chapters. Do you know how they're arranged? Some kind of like this is some kind of like random collection of ideas or what are you doing? Who's talking? Yeah. Anyone have any general idea of the structure? Any structure? You know, my structure may not agree with Brihat's. I think it does actually. He actually has my analysis in his study notes. Yeah.
Sukadeva Goswami to Pariksit.
That's what I am at the beginning. Yeah. Sukadeva Goswami is talking. And then he basically answers all of Maharaj Pariksit's questions. And then Maharaj Pariksit says, well, thank you very much. And I'm so enlivened by what you're saying like that at the end of the third chapter. But I'm not going to go anywhere. And I'm becoming so purified by this process, I can see, yeah, this is the best yoga. So please just tell me more. You know, like that. So then Sukadeva Goswami then tells him, okay, I'll tell you how Brahma explained this to Narada. Mm-hmm. Right? And that's chapters. How many chapters?
4 to 7.
Yeah, it's actually the fourth chapter is nothing but invocatory verses like that, glorification of Krishna. Then, chapters 5, 6, and 7, he then explains how, you know, Narada asked questions, Narada had anxiety, he asked Brahma, Brahma explained Bhagavatam, and he told him, now you explain this to other people like that. You know? And then Maharaj Pariksit says, yeah, I'm not going anywhere, tell me again. So, okay, he said, all right, now I'll tell you the original Bhagavatam and how Vishnu spoke it to Brahma. So in the first two cantos, we have three chapters each for each one party speaking. Sutta to the sages, Narada to Vyas, Sukadeva Goswami to Pariksit, Brahma to Narada, and Vishnu to Brahma. So every one of them is there except for Krishna to Sukadeva Goswami. And that one is not there. And he heard that in the womb of his mother. But all the rest of them are there like that. And he says, it's a parampara. And you can take any one of those and just like look at it separately, study it for a little while, read it, relish it. And each one has, it's like looking at the same thing. It's a Bhagavatam class, but it's looking at, okay, this is Lord Brahma's Bhagavatam class. And you won't be surprised that Lord Brahma's Bhagavatam class describes all about how the universe is engineered, how it's manufactured, how it works like that. I was with Hari Lila Prabhu. We were in Cusco, right? In the mountains together with Mataji, like that. And it was a plaza there. Yeah. There's a beautiful church right across the plaza, Jesus Maria. I was so old, no? Yeah. And went inside. Remember that? It was just so many parts, and it was like several churches, one collected to another, and hundreds of years old, you know. And I was looking at the big paintings on the wall and the altar, and I said, "Harry Lula, beautiful art and painting." He said, "Yes, it's true." You know, he was looking at all the columns. It's like, you know, structural engineer's view of paradise. Goes to Vaikuntha, you know. Wow, that's very good. Yeah, that was it's basically is. You mentioned, you said, well, it's really strong, but it's kind of overkill. Right? You have the columns were as big as this room, made out of bricks like that. It's not like that. You know, we could do it lighter nowadays. You know, so everybody has their particular view. In the first Bhagavatam, Sutra to the Sages, his description of creation is almost nothing. It's like one verse. You know, God creates the universe. Okay, it's like that. You know? But Brahma is like focusing on this again and again. You know, second canto, like that. Who else do we have? So here are the verses. This is the Mula Bhagavatam, Chaturshloki Bhagavatam. And I've heard Mayavadi giving explanations, everything else. Also in the second canto, I mentioned two more really important verses, 2.3.10 and 2.3.19. Does anybody know 2.3.10? Raise your hand if you know it. Okay. Anybody else? 1, 2, 3. I know it. 4. Akarma, sarva karma. No? Do you know what it means? Do we know what it means? Okay, here.
Akarma, sarva karma, va moksha karma, udaradhi. Tivrena bhakti yogene yajeta purusha param.
Okay, translation.
Whether you are without any desires.
Are you reading it? Oh, okay.
And trying.
Yeah.
Or full of desires.
Yeah.
Or desirous of liberation.
Yeah.
With Tibrena, with dedication, through Bhakti Yoga, you should worship the Supreme Lord.
Now, why do you say Supreme Lord? What is the Sanskrit for that?
Param Purusha.
Okay. So if you're in a restaurant and you have to go to the bathroom, you go to the bathroom, right? And there are two doors, right? What do they say? In India.
Men and women. Yeah, and Purusha and Stri.
Yeah. So it's impossible to mistranslate this word. Even a rickshaw wala knows it. Anybody who can distinguish the bathrooms in India, you know what Purusha means, like that. So I was saw some Mayavadi Bhagavatam. What's right before this? This is 2.10, 2.3. So this is the very last section of Maharaj Pariksit being heard, hearing from Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning like that. So what's right? You know, what's right before this? What he's talking about? This is kind of a conclusion. Yeah? He's saying, if you want victory over your enemies, you should worship the demons. If you want stability in your post, yes, yeah, temple president or something, then what should you do? Who should you worship?
Worship Indra.
No, you should worship the horizon. If you want a qualified wife, you should worship Uma. If you want a qualified husband, Shiva. Yeah. And he goes on like that. One big list like that. You know, he goes through all these things, you know. Then he comes to this, you know, this verse, and I'm wondering how's this Mayavadi guy gonna translate this? Because, you know, it's just like akama, sarva kama, moksha kama, va, tivrena, bhakti yogena. It's a sequential file, like the whole thing. Yajate Purusham Param. And he says, once you worship the Supreme Person. Prabhupada says that. He says that even Shankaracharya knew it would be impossible to give a distorted translation of the Bhagavatam. So he didn't touch it. Because it was just so clear. It was like, you know, you find someone trying to, what they'll do is they'll go like, break it into Purusham. See, actually it's not Purusham, it's Purusham. And therefore Pu means this and Rusha means that. Really, it's bizarre, like breaking the words into bizarre fashions to try to avoid this thing, Purusha and Sri. You know? So, it's a very nice verse. Yeah. How many people here are Akama? How many people are moksha kama? Yeah, I am moksha kama. People here, they want to get out of this world at least like that. You know? Akama, moksha, sarva kama, moksha kama. So why should the akamas worship Krishna? Yeah, they have no desires. Why should they worship Krishna? Is there a verse in the first canto which talks about that? A super, super, super principle verse. Super, super.
Yeah. Yeah.
Abraham.
Ah. True. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know the words. I just.
Oh. Okay.
They grant me purukunai.
Korbanti. Itam. Okay. Yeah. How many explanations can you give of this?
63.
Yeah. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya gave something like he was. First, he asked Sarvabhauma. He explained this to Sarvabhauma. And then Prakashananda says, what? He asked for it later. Somebody asked for it again. Yeah. This is the very beginning. And this just says, you know, why does Sukadeva Goswami take up this book? Self-realized soul, liberated. He said, because Atmaramas, Chamunayo, even the self-realized souls, the happy, self-happy people, they worship Krishna. Because he has so many qualities that even they're attracted like that. So he asked Sarvabhauma, he said, you first to explain it. I think he gave like 35 explanations or something like that. Then Lord Chaitanya began to go through and just give all the permutations and every single word from the dictionary without any kind of imagining speculation. And Sarvabhauma could understand that if he goes on like this, he's going to produce, I forget what it is, he's either 3,500 or 35,000 different explanations. And he worked it out like that. It's interesting how many he does like that. So at that point, Sarvabhauma, just his circuit breaker popped. He was just, you know, who is this person in front of me? His intelligence was just starting to overheat. You know, trying to capture Lord Chaitanya by Gyan, and he just, at that point, became his intelligence shut his mind down. He saw Lord Chaitanya as a six-armed form like that. At that point, he surrendered. He realized this is God. You know, only God could do this. You know, because he knew he was the greatest scholar in practice in all of India at that time, and he's facing somebody. You know, I did 35 explanations. Now this guy's ready to do 3,500 explanations. You know. I'm outgunned. Yeah. I can't even begin to compete. When Brahma saw Krishna, you know, he raised a little cowherd boy, took all the cows and calves. What are you going to do? You know, took them away like that. And they're all still there, you know. So he comes down from Brahmaloka to Maharloka to Tapaloka to Indraloka to Vayuloka to, you know, down to Mathura Mandal to the Castrian cowherding fields of Vrindavan. And he finally is getting down looking at Krishna, you know. And Krishna's sitting there with his food in his left hand, you know, with no pants on, I think, even like that. You know, in the forest with funny marks in his face, and he's staring back at Brahma, and Brahma's staring at him, you know, like that. And then Krishna raises the curtain of Yoga Maya. And Brahma sees that Krishna is not only is Krishna Vishnu, but he's being worshipped by unlimited numbers of Vishnus like that. Even little straws are dancing around worshipping him like that. And he becomes completely just bewildered. And then the curtain lowers again. And he finally comes back to his external consciousness. And he begins to offer prayers, beautiful prayers. And some people say this is the reason Prabhupada left. You know, after translating all those, and he just couldn't stand it anymore, you know, staying here like that. You know. So they're very intense. You know. I heard the very first verse. He says, some people say that I am the great Brahma, right? Perfect in Vedic knowledge, and master of the universe, which is what he also tells Narada. He said, but as far as I'm concerned, the difference in knowledge between my body and your body, I can't even begin to estimate the difference in beginning like that. And he goes on, you know, saying, give up the speck of the process and just worship you. So his first verse, very nice. Other one, I don't remember the whole one. Svavid vara hostra karai.
Samstuta purusha pushi.
I don't know, yeah. Yeah. It's a nice verse. So what does it basically say? English? I don't know, the English. English, you know?
Men's were like dogs, hawks, camels, and asses. They praise, is it?
They never praise.
They
pray, yeah.
Those literature which...
No.
No.
Yeah, you're right. Those who like dogs, hogs, camels, and asses, praise those men who never praise the Supreme Lord. Yeah, like that. So what is the example of the camel? The dogs. Each of those has a specific kind of negative characteristic. Yeah. What are the dogs compared to?
Selfish?
No. The dogs are like the university students who they study very hard and they go door to door with a diploma in their mouth, scratching on doors looking for occupation. And he says, usually they're driven away with this thing of no work here, go away. Yeah. This is a great purport for preaching universities. Like that. Yeah. Make a lot of enemies fast. Yeah.
So, okay, then finally, this is how Brahma saw Vishnu, and he told him everything in four verses. Please repeat. Ahameva samevagre.
Ahameva samevagre.
Nanyadiyat sarasat param.
Nanyadiyat sarasat param.
Pascharaham yadetachcha.
Pascharaham yadetachcha.
Yo vishishyeta sosmiaham.
Yo vishishyeta sosmiaham.
Translation. Can I read?
Brahman is I, the personality of Godhead, who was existing before the creation when there was nothing but myself. Nor was there the material nature, the cause of this creation. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead.
Aham, 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 aham. Yeah. Okay. Rite ritam yat pratiyet.
Rite ritam yat pratiyet.
Na pratiyet cha atmani.
Na pratiyet cha atmani.
Tad vidyad atmano mayam.
Tad vidyad atmano mayam.
Yatha baso yatha tamaha.
Yatha baso yatha tamaha.
O Brahma, whatever appears to me of any value, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness.
Okay. Yatha mahanti bhutani.
Yatha mahanti bhutani.
Bhute suchcha vasechvanu.
Bhute suchcha vasechvanu.
Pravistani apravistani.
Pravistani apravistani.
Tatateshu na keshvaham.
Tatateshu na keshvaham.
That is?
O Brahma, please know that the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos. Similarly, I myself also exist within everything created and at the same time I am outside of everything.
And finally, etava deva jignasyam.
Etava deva jignasyam.
Tadva jignasun atmana.
Tadva jignasun atmana.
Anvaya vyati rekabhyam.
Anvaya vyati rekabhyam.
Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
Yatsyat sarvatra sarvada.
A person who is searching after the supreme absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, most certainly search for it up to this, in all circumstances, in all space and time, and both directly and indirectly.
So I think it should be must, rather than most. Must certainly search for it. Typographical error in the book. Yeah. So it's understanding. Yeah. You understand? Any questions? Brahma. Ah, I understand. Yeah. It's very intense. I think the basic point is that you have a very, very nice, get some yarn, right? You go to the store, you buy some nice yarn, you know. You sit there, right? You know. Then after some time, you have a nice sweater, right? You know. So where's the yarn? Somebody comes and says, where's the yarn? Right? Where is it? It's not there anymore. Is it?
Used up.
Yeah. Huh?
It is used up.
It's used up? Doesn't exist?
Yeah.
Then someone says, what's this little piece here? And they start pulling, right? And what happens?
It's transferring to some other form.
Where's the sweater? Right? Now the sweater's gone. So you start pulling on,
Pulling out, okay.
Yeah. So that's exactly what he's saying. Before it was me, and the elements appear to enter into the cosmic manifestation, but at the same time they don't. Yeah? It doesn't cease to be yarn. If you look at it from the right way, it's still yarn. Yeah? And then when it all goes away, then it didn't really exist in the first place. And people call me up, never become a guru. It's like having how many children do you have? Huh? You have kids?
Yeah.
How many?
Three.
Yeah, is that enough?
Much more than enough.
Yeah, imagine having 150. Yeah. Well, to speak out on Jagatakamar, you know, yeah. Oh, you probably adjusted it though, like that. But, you know, it's just, So anyway, it's just, you get all these problems and everything else, and it's just, a lot of it is just because people have gotten, you know, they've forgotten the whole perspective, they've got them absorbed and this and that, and he said, I said, what about the, oh yeah, you're right, that's so important, is it like that? Okay, we can just tolerate this and adjust, and okay, oh, in a week or so it'll be okay, you know, he's going to go away in a week anyway, okay, no problem, you know, yeah. So this is, you know, people become absorbed in looking at it like that, and this is the second verse. O Brahma, whatever appears to be of any value, sorry, the third verse, if it is without relation to me, has no reality. No, it is my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. Right? Reflection that appears to be in darkness. So because, you know, there are people in the spiritual world. Is this a person? A doctor there. Yes? What happens if you cut down the nice scalpel? What number scalpel should we use? Number, different numbers, right? Okay. Cut down the open ear and just pull it open. What do we have then? What's here? What's inside here? Okay, take those out. Okay. Now what's next? The trachea, bronchia. What else is in the chest here?
The heart.
Take the heart out and put it over here. Okay. Then what do we have after that? Yeah.
We have blood vessels,
muscles. Yeah, below the stomach, yeah. But the stomach, right? Duodenum, small intestines. How long are those?
21 feet.
They can stretch from here to there, right? Okay. Okay. Then we got the large intestines, you know, ascending, transverse, and descending. See, you know, yeah. Billy Verdon, Billy Rubin. Yeah. And that, yeah, that's the whole thing. And then there's nothing left. Then you got maybe reproductive organs. You know. Okay. Where's the soul? You know? In the skull, you can take a little. Saw, right? Take the top off. Right. What is it? What are the brains like? Hare Krishna. Well, I got them.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
So if you take the brains out, what are they like? Hard, like cheese? They like?
Soft.
Like jello, no? Kind of slumped down like that. Like that. The eyeballs, you know. Then on the muscles, skeletal muscles. And that's about it. You look at the whole thing. It's really amazing, isn't it? But it's not at all like the outer structure like that. You know, it's actually quite very different, you know? Very different, you know? And the covering is like a thin covering which is coming from some other source, really. The organs are not dictating how we look on the outside. The organs are just totally different, you know? So then where is this coming from? It's a reflection, right? It's a reflection of the spiritual world where there are real bodies and real people and real things like that. Beauty, form, taste, you know, architecture. But we see it in this darkness of ignorance and it seems to be real. You take it as a real body like that. You know? But again, it's like, where is the yarn? Well, now it's become a sweater. Does the sweater actually exist? Not really. It's a temporary arrangement of the yarn. But it's not non-existent either. And that's the whole mystery here about the material world. It is a temporary reality.
Temporary.
Yeah. I mean, see, what Buddhists generally say that everything is false, you know. But they say, but well, there is contingent reality. Well, while we're here and while we're becoming Buddha, we have to accept certain things as being real. It's exactly the same thing we're saying. You know? Is the material world false?
No.
What is it? It's not eternal.
It's real. Temporary.
Temporary reality. Oh, I said it. Yeah. But that's why it's such a subtle thing. But then to actually realize that in fact, of course, even more difficult. Right? So these four verses, everything is here. Brahma, it is I, the personality of God, who was existing before the creation of the sweater, when there was nothing but myself, the yarn, nor was there the material nature, you know, the cause of this creation. This is something else, I guess, you know, my analogy. That which you see now is also I, the personality of Godhead. And after annihilation, what remains will also be I, the personality of Godhead. So the sweater is also Krishna. This world is Krishna. And a very advanced devotee bows down to everything and everybody. Maybe you started to see that. You just find yourself kind of like this, you know, for example, you go over a big river, you just kind of like this, kind of, you know, why am I paying Bob? Put my head like her. Why am I being respectful of the sunrise? Or, you know, you start seeing like, you just start kind of like this, you know, seeing things in the beautiful automobile that goes by, and you kind of, you know, you see this, yes, it is. Prabhupada says, unless we offer respect to everybody because of their age, their wealth, their power, their beauty, their fame, Krishna will not be pleased with us because he's given those things. I mean, Hitler, right? Or Osama bin Laden, right? Yeah. Krishna gave them that power, and so we respect it. It's not everything, but that we, because then we see Krishna everywhere. It's, you know, everything is, that point is, there's no enemy, there's nothing wrong, because we see everywhere is Krishna. And he's doing, and everything is controlled by him. His violence and everything else is happening by him, right? Yeah? Yeah. So, that's the first one. Everything is God in the beginning, but how is it God? Number two is in this, in whatever appears to be without a relationship to Krishna is not real. And number three, as the universal elements enter into the cosmos and at the same time do not enter into the cosmos, similarly I myself also exist within every created thing. At the same time I am outside of everything. Yeah. So the sweater, the yarn has not become the sweater, right? The yarn is not because it's still yarn, you know. You can, and then you can pull it out like that, and it separates again. Yeah. But finally, we have to know this. What? How do we have to know this? The last verse. Yeah. In all times, all places, and all circumstances, both directly and indirectly. Like that. Actually, directly means through the Paramatma. And indirectly means through the devatas, the demigods, like that. Yeah.
Okay. Koi prashna hai?
You said that's basically a yes or no. Okay. Now you explain it to other people. That's, every single one of these Bhagavatams has the same feature. Somebody has a problem, they meet a guru, he explains what is this cosmos, what is the world behind it, how do we go to that world, and then any questions? Yes, some questions. How did you realize this Narada Muni? Okay, I'll tell you. Any more questions? No? Okay. Now in terms of your contacts, right? At Ross's Dress for Less, right? You better explain this tomorrow. See, look at this sweater here like that. Let me tell you something about this. Yeah, pull it. They get fired, right? Yeah, pull the sweater apart, you know. No, it's like that. There was a cobbler and a Brahmin, right? And the cobbler was sitting under a tree, the story. And he saw Narada Muni, he was so respectful, and he said, "Oh, Narada Muni, great sage, you're a wonderful person. Where are you going?" "I'm going to go see Narayan in Vaikuntha." He said, "Oh, how wonderful. Could you ask him when I'm going to be able to come back to him? I really miss him." You know? Okay. He saw a Brahmin, a very arrogant guy, he knew so much, he could memorize 40,000 verses, all this kind of stuff. He said, "Oh, Narada Muni, great sage. Oh, yes, yes, another Brahmin, sit down." So where are you going? "Oh, I'm going to see Vishnu in Vaikuntha." "Oh, very good, very good. You're also going to Vaikuntha." "Hare Krishna." So then he said, "While you're there, could you ask him when my liberation is coming?" So Narada went to Vaikuntha, saw Narayan. And then he told him, you know, he said, "Well, both these guys asked me when they're going to come back to you, get liberation." So he said, "Well, you tell the cobbler he's coming back at the end of this lifetime. And the Brahmana, tell him it's going to be some more time." I don't even know how many lifetimes, really, like that. And Narada Muni was a little surprised. This Brahmana is so pure and never did anything bad. And, you know, knows all these verses. The cobbler is just, you know, taking the skins off of dead animals and fats coming out and all this kind of stuff. You know? So how could that be? And Vishnu said, "Okay, you asked both of them. The both of them are going to ask you what I was doing when you saw me. So you see I was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle. And you see what the reaction is." You know? So he went back, and then Brahma said, "Oh, Narada, you're back again. Did you go to Vaikuntha?" And I said, "Yes, yes, I was there." And he said, "Oh, very wonderful. You know, and did you ask the Lord what I was, you know, if I was in, what my liberation was going to be?" And he said, "Well, I asked him, but he said he wasn't sure. He didn't know how long it was going to be like that." And the Brahmana was saying, "Well, that's ridiculous. I'm pure Brahmin, very elevated guy like that. What was he doing?" He said, "Oh, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle." "Putting the elephant through the eye of a needle? Oh, you're an imposter. You're not the real Narada Muni. This is impossible. Get out of here." Om, hrim, vroom. So the cobbler, you know, saw him, and he said, "Oh, Narada Muni, you're back. Please accept my obeisances." You know, actually, a puppet show of this. Broken off, my friend. You know, a little song the cobbler sings. You know. And he said, "Oh, what was it? So did Vishnu talk about when I'll be able to come back to him?" He said, yes. He said, you're coming back as soon as his life is over. Like I said, oh, how wonderful, wonderful. He's such a great person, always engaged in so many wonderful pastimes, you know. I'd be so happy to be able to participate and help him. What was he doing when you saw him? Well, he was putting an elephant through the eye of a needle, you know. And the Brahma said, oh, Kabir said, Muchi, so wonderful. He's so wonderful. So powerful, everything else like that. So Narada Muni said, you believe that? He's putting an elephant through the eye of a needle? And the Kabir said, yeah, I sit here every day under this tree just chanting the holy names and working and, you know, contemplating his different energies, you know, directly and indirectly. And this is a banyan tree. And these little banyan fruits fall down. And every one of them, there's so many little seeds like that. And every one of those seeds is a big banyan tree like that. So if he can put a big banyan tree inside of one little seed, why can't he put an elephant through the eye of a needle? So Narada Marta Muni was amazed. Yeah. So that, you know, again, it doesn't matter where you are, who you are, we have to search it out. You know, somebody may have great analytical tools, great memory. I know people who, technically speaking, what's the difference between a moron and an imbecile? Remember? If your IQ of 100 is normal, right? Then you go below that 90, 80, 70, and so one level is moron, other level is imbecile. It's like, you got to be careful when you use these terms in public, like what you're going to. The psychologist, you know, call somebody a moron or an imbecile. You know. So anyway, this guy was maybe a moron. You know. But he was a professional pot washer from San Francisco, and somebody sold him a book, you know. And he had very low IQ, you know, very, very simple guy. And so he moved to the temple and was there sometime. And he got the whole kitchen organized because he was a professional guy. And he just made us buy him gloves and stuff. He would work, you know, 6 hours a day in the kitchen washing pots and stuff, you know. And you know, all of everybody else, the cooks and stuff, he would tell them what to do because, you know, he was a professional guy. And I'll do that for him. And when he was preaching, it was so simple, you know. But it was very direct and very nice, you know. And I don't think he even knew much, maybe one or two verses from Bhagavad Gita in English like that, you know. But a very nice person, but very simple like that and stuff, you know, so on. So, but he, you know, you can see, he had a very clear understanding of these things like that, realization. You know? So these are the four verses. Like that. Any questions? Any comments? Yeah. Maybe I stay on this theme for the next few days like that, going over that. But in some ways, the whole canto just comes down to these four verses like that. Yeah. I don't know how much Prabhupada actually quotes them. The Sanskrit, you know. Yeah, certain. A lot of times, Prabhupada doesn't quote whole slokas. He quotes like this one pada. Or even a phrase like that, and so on. Because yeah. We have to have practical knowledge. What's the use of memorizing so many verses and then forgetting them all? Yeah. There's efficiency of relearning. It's maybe good like that. But it's, hey, ask this question. Okay, you're reading Prabhupada's books. Okay. Right here. Again, second canto. There's so many ways you can do this. Okay. Okay. I've got a verse here. I open it right out. How many verses do you think you have to know so that you have it? 80% chance of knowing the next verse Prabhupada is going to quote. Right? The next verse he's going to quote, if you know a certain number of verses, okay, 10, 100, 400, 1,000, how many verses do you think you have to know so you have an 80% chance of knowing what the next verse, knowing the next verse that Prabhupada quotes, knowing what it is? Basically, how many verses did Prabhupada quote from 80% of the time? 1,000 verses? Yeah. 100?
50?
50? I see more than that. You know. Most people go to about 100 and maybe 100. 60, 70, 100. Like that. Okay, the next verse is Ishvara Padma Krishna
Sachidananda Vigraha Nadiradir Govinda Sarvakarana Kara.
Yeah. The next one is Aham Sarvasya
Prabhava Bhakta Sarvam Pravartate Iti Matva Vajante Vam Buddha Bhava Samanita.
Okay, next one is Brahma Bhuta
Prasannatmana Sochati Nakamchati Sama Sarveshu Bhuteshu Bhad Bhakti Labhate.
And the next verse after that, which is right here, Bhaktyamam
Abhijanati Yavan Yashtashmi Tattvada Tato Mam Tattvato Ingatva Vishate Tattanantaram.
Okay. Now you got, that's 4 out of 5. Now we find, okay. Tadshvadadhana Munayo. Yeah, a little harder one. But that's also, it's in the second canto. Almost all the verses Prabhupada quotes from the Bhagavatam in the second canto. Everything is there. The whole Bhagavatam is there and completed in three chapters. Some people memorize the entire second canto. Like that. I'm sorry, second chapter. Because the Sutta is answering all the questions. So we begin to see that actually there are there's certain principles and stuff for the study, certain core things you have to develop like that. Prabhupada said, even in 100 years, you cannot possibly read all the books thoroughly that we have given, thoroughly like that. So you have to select out. Okay, read everything, go through like a sampler, see everything, but along your way, collect your notes, take some notes, and then later on you go back. Everybody has to build their own little boat, for crossing over the ocean of the Absolute Truth. What distinguishes an Uttamadhikari from Majjhimadhikari? He knows the scriptural sources. This is not ink on paper. This is a Supreme Lord in the form of logic, like that, and in incarnation like that. And so when you know that, you know Krishna. You can take shelter of him. You can grab a hold of him to deal with different situations like that. And then by logic, he can connect all these things up and talking in terms of different verses and common experience and stuff like that. So Uttamadhikari, Majjhimadhikari, he's convinced in the process. He has so many doubts, but he's convinced they'll be removed. I'm convinced this process will remove all my doubts like that. I don't know. I can't defeat your argument, but one time this girl, Mother Nityarupa, we're at the edge of the campus in Berkeley chanting. So many people coming and going, big students. And I was just chanting with the devotees, and she was distributing books. And somehow or other, I kind of saw this whole thing. One Arab graduate student came up, and she started preaching to him about, Krishna consciousness, and he was arguing about Allah, and he had this Arabic arrogance towards women, and he was like defeating her, because he's very intelligent, he was a graduate student. So he kept defeating her again and again, the arguments, and so finally I just kind of saw this like going on. And finally he was walking away feeling this, I defeated a woman, and she said, "I don't care what you say, this philosophy is perfect." It was like complete feminine, and he just couldn't tolerate that. His Arab ego just could not tolerate that. So he came back. This seemed like that. He starts arguing with her, But now he's lost all of his intelligence. She won't even listen to him. She's like talking to other people like that and stuff. And finally, then look again. He's giving her $10 and taking a book. It's like, I've got to defeat this philosophy. This book like that. So everybody, she had nice understanding of philosophy and stuff like that. But everybody has a different mind, different body, different situation. I read one verse, it's unlimited. I read one phrase in here. Prabhupada says, "A living entity is always subjective to it. Always kind of like reflecting his environment. Always subjected to his environment. We are always subjected to our environment. We're never independent of our environment. Right? The environment can be Radha, or the environment can be Durga. That's one or the other. And within Radha and within Durga, there's so many situations like that, higher and lower like that. So we should try and pick our environment. But we always have to have some environment like that. Jiva Shakti. So next few days, we can talk a little bit more. It's kind of like an overview and then come to the hard conclusion here. It's very philosophical. Any final comments, questions? That's good. It's enough for tonight? Enough for one day? Okay. Yeah, too much. Right. A little more kirtan. Yeah. Hey, cartels? Yeah. Like a picture. And then some prasad? Kirtan lecture, kirtan prasad. So arti? No? Awesome? Okay. Yeah, arti. Kirtan lecture, kirtan prasad. Okay, Could have Panchatantra on your altar. Yeah. Get some beautiful Gorda Thai picture. Prabhupada is carrying Panchatantra in his heart.
Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Govinda Jaya Jaya Gopala Jaya Jaya Radha Ramana Hari Govinda Jaya Jaya
Radha Ramana Hari Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Krishna ki jai, Shivanavadam Mohan ki jai, Bajranga Jihanuman ji ki jai, Suri Goswami ki jai, Sapapa ki jai. Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Bo. Gopi Manandi Hari Hari Ram, Hari Ram. People in Iraq. There are people in Iraq who want to hear copies of these classes. They're on the website.